Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the new food offerings that will be at Universal's Aventura Hotel. Two more scare zones were announced for Halloween Horror Nights, and we find out that there was an Amelia Earhart of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is episode 181 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams. Today, I am joined alongside by my co-host, Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Hello, and we have a good one for you today. I know last week I kind of prefaced that episode saying, wow, we got lucky. There was a whole bunch of news released, a whole bunch of new goodies, and so we're going to have to focus on a news-centric episode, which was a fun one, talking about the slaughterhouse at Halloween Horror Nights and the cinematic celebration, all the S-sounding words all together. Well, consider myself caught off guard, because yet we've gone through another week with lots of good news. And, you know, it's as was thought, it started with last Thursday, a Halloween Horror Nights announcement involving the scare zones, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but then also got caught off guard with an announcement about some of the food at Aventura that will be opening next month at Universal Orlando, and then just a little fun throwaway here on the side as well, too, involving the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. But I'm going to start with the big one, the one that I think is most important, and that is the food at Aventura Hotel, specifically the food that will be in what they are calling Urban Pantry.
Mm. So, why?
Ryan, why is this important, or why am I excited about it?
Okay.
I'm excited about it, and I think you would be excited about it for the exact same reason, and that's because they are going with this style. Yes, it is a food court. Let's not try to church it up more than we should. A food court's a food court's a food court. However, this food court is going to be inspired, according to them, by the modern food halls that we see all around the world now. They say, they mentioned San Francisco and London in theirs.
Did they talk about Boston?
They didn't talk about Boston. Mm. I mean, you miss stuff like Boston. You miss stuff like Seattle. One of our favorite food halls that we go to when we are in California, the Anaheim Packing House.
Oh, I love the Anaheim Packing House. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you are unfamiliar with what it's kind of meaning with
Faneuil Hall would be in Boston was the one I was referring to. But anyway, yeah.
we're talking to basically a place that is built up with just eclectic restaurants from all over, like featuring everything. So you might see a stand for Mexican food, and then you turn around and there will be a Vietnamese place, and then a pizza place, a barbecue place, a ramen place.
It sounds cool.
Well, with this one, it's
Describing the hotel.
I'm still describing food hall because a lot of people don't like. You know, when you're traveling and stuff, if it's like a very popular one that like, oh, I heard all tourists go here, we need to go there, you might go out of your way for it. But in a lot of like your average small town, you're not going to have these places like this. So it's essentially like a farmer's market came together and it was all food offerings. Yeah. That's essentially what it is. And this is the concept that Universal is going for with the Urban Pantry. So it's going to feature diverse flavors, fresh ingredients, and all these globally inspired dishes right there. So it's going to be made up of essentially four different stations, which definitely will showcase features globally inspired in these different four stations. That includes the roast station, the pizza station, the walk station, and then the burger station.
Mm.
So, and then just as a, kind of give you an idea of the restaurant, it will be available for dining at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's going to feature large floor-to-ceiling windows, lots of seating, and with those windows, you're going to be able to look out and see the pool from there and just bask in that sunlight. So it sounds like, much like the rest of the hotel itself is being described as contemporary and stylish, and I feel like the concept...
Yeah, that sounds like it fits right in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just, they're really nailing it on the head. However, it is a food court, and while there have been great moments like the opening years of Cabana Bay and their food court, we also know that food courts can quickly go downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an interesting one to watch. But let's go over the food that we should expect from the different stations according to Universal. And we'll just go in the order like they released on their official blog. Easiest to keep track that way. But the first one they mention is the Roast Station, and this will feature entrees like cuts of lamb and prime rib. Yummy, yummy. Chicken, salmon, and paella, which I know you're paella, a fan of paella. Really?
Yeah. Interesting.
When paella is done right, paella is good. And then
you'll be saying paella.
Yeah. And I appreciate the side dishes that come along with those because it feels like with the Roast Station, they're looking for more health-conscious side dishes.
Yeah.
So they're saying that it's we're going to expect things like quinoa, couscous, roasted marble potatoes, and spinach, and seasonal veggies.
The photo they released for this, for every one of these stations, looks delish.
Yeah, and that's we'll have the photos with this, obviously, if you're watching, and if you're listening to this, you can go to universal.wdwinfo.com, and right on our homepage, you'll see a link to this article describing it, but like the photo they put up for the Roast Station shows what appears to be like prime rib or roast beef, one of the two. I'm guessing the prime rib based on it, yeah, and served with couscous and potatoes and carrots, and it looks mighty tasty. The pizza station, let's be real, it shouldn't take a genius to figure this out. Rhino, what do you think it's going to be at the pizza station?
Cheeseburgers. Pizzas.
Yeah, so chefs are going to be creating mouthwatering pizzas topped with gourmet ingredients, cooked in high-temperature stone ovens with seating that allows you to watch your pie in the making. So feels to me very much like Red Oven.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, sorry, comparing it to another Universal product, yeah.
Yeah, yes, a place like Blaze, you can kind of see your pizza being made there in front of you, but then once it goes in the oven,
yeah,
you have to like kind of look around the counter and stuff, where like Red Oven, you have that window into their oven from the outside so you can see in. The big thing about these pizzas, I skirted around it right away when I started because I mentioned gourmet ingredients. They're when they say gourmet, they mean toppings like prosciutto, and that's pretty normal anymore for a pizza.
Arugula.
Yeah, you're going to get a prosciutto arugula pizza. Delicious every time, and as well, you know, it can be done really well. The other ingredient they mentioned, though, is something that I haven't necessarily seen at a normal pizza place before as a topping, and that's smoked salmon.
That's what I was looking at this picture of, and I was like, is that fish on this pizza? I mean, I guess you do like anchovies, but anchovies are like those tiny, salty, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting...
Yeah. No, it's intriguing. I think I have seen smoked salmon on a pizza before, but it's not something I've ever eaten.
You know, people do it as like a... Sometimes when you go to a fancy breakfast, it's like there on the thing.
Salmon on a bagel. And
yeah, I never got that, though, either. I'm not one of those people. Like, I love salmon, but I never think, like, you know what this could use? Well, I guess I've had salmon in a sandwich, so never mind. I was going to say bread, but...
Yeah, well, there's also a big difference between regular salmon, cooked salmon,
right,
baked, seared, however you want to do it, grilled, and smoked salmon. It's a very big difference between the two. Like, smoked salmon, I have to be in the mood for that, whereas regular salmon, I could eat any single day of the week. But something like the smoked salmon pizza that they're showcasing, I want it.
And we're going to have to try it.
Yeah. Yeah. I only wish that you would be there with me for the grand opening, but Rhino has to go to vacation.
Like yeah. I scheduled this vacation 2 years ago, yeah. and then apparently the Halloween parties are now in the middle of August. The opening of hotels are in the middle of August. I'm missing out on some stuff, yeah. but I'll be in sunny Anaheim, California. Yeah,
it's very bad timing with it. Yeah. So I'll be there to deliver a bunch of coverage from the opening day of Aventura Hotel. Unfortunately, though, Rhino and I will have to wait a little while longer for a more in-depth thing. Probably in September, maybe based around a Halloween Horror Nights
night.
That
would be fun.
Yeah, so that way we have a hotel to stay at and we can actually describe it as not going as a local and someone who's traveling for vacation, but
it would also be cool wrapping that whole experience together with what it's like. Yeah, like the whole, I don't have to like, now I have to go back home.
Yeah.
Do you know?
No, I'm very excited for that. But then they mentioned a dessert at the pizza station that will be available.
Oh,
a gelato sandwich.
What?
Which we've seen this before, and that is a gelato sandwich is, in their case, the one they'll be serving is hazelnut chocolate and gelato pressed in a sweetbread bun.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, I've had these before.
Where do we have this? We had something like this.
Yes.
It'll come to me. Hold on.
That's I remember the problem. The bun, it's not coming to me.
And I remember the ice cream. And I was like, we have to... Oh, I know. I remember what was it? Jake's All-American.
That's correct.
Yeah, it was a peanut butter. It was like peanut butter and jelly or something like that. And it was ice cream, right?
We had something very similar to that there. And that was delicious. So I am looking forward to this. I love gelato, and I like when they take it to the next level with that. So very much looking forward to it. Rhino, you're going to be obsessed with the next station we talk about. And that's the walk station. And don't get disheartened. I know you still remember our walk experience at
it was not great.
Royal Pacific. But we're not talking like that. Yes, there is a way to do stir fry if you want to. But the big feature is ramen style.
I am so excited about this because I am obsessed with ramen right now. And I finally found a new ramen place I like in Orlando. And I live right near Universal. So if this ramen place is good and it's even closer to my house than this other ramen place, I am going to be thrilled.
Yeah. So you have your choice of steak, chicken, shrimp, or tofu. And then, of course, you're going to top it off with all the normal vegetables you would.
Yeah. I feel like tonkatsu is the average ramen that always has pork in it. But whatever, I'm not going to be picking them.
It could be a thing where they start adjusting to what guests demand and want. So we could see it change in that. I think a lot of these are definitely more thought of for the stir fry portion of it. Mm-hmm. All these things sound good stir fried, and you're right on the ramen, but regardless, that's maybe why it says ramen style instead
of still exciting.
Actually
still
stirred exciting. Up on. Yeah. And then this station also, which I'm happy to announce, we'll also have sushi as well as tuna poke, crab spring rolls, and dumplings. Mm. So as long as you're not comparing it to your favorite Chinese and other Asian food places, I think this one will probably be pretty delicious. Good go-to choice. My most excited for one, I think, is the burger station, and that's because I plan on one day eating enough burgers to the point that I'm just disgustingly sick, which could be sooner than later. But the burger station is going to serve delicious handhelds, according to them. So I like to call them just hamburgers. not hand-burgers, but...
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
Where did we go? I would like to buy a hamburger! Where did we go that they were like, the hand... Oh, it was at one of the Epcot things, and they were like, we've got this thing, the handwich.
Yeah, like, a hand sandwich.
Yeah, do you mean a regular sandwich?
I usually go with sandwich or then open-faced sandwich or knife and fork sandwich, but the sandwich always implies that it's going to just be eaten with your hands. So at this burger station, you're going to have the choice choosing between like grass-fed beef, grass-fed beef is always the way to go. If you're not getting grass-fed, you're not doing it right. Black Angus beef, which is always the way to go. If you're not doing it Black Angus style, you're not doing it right. Turkey burger, which is always the way to go.
Turkey, you're not doing
if you're
it.
Not doing turkey, then you're not doing it right. Or vegetarian burger. That is also an option. And then you have your assortment of cheeses that you can have to put on top and other toppings. They mentioned an aged Gouda right away. And just like
Universal
Marshall and How
Gouda.
I Met Your Mother, you got to try the Gouda.
You got to try that Gouda. It didn't roll itself up, chop itself up. Not one, not two, but three different sturdy cheese-bearing burgers that they offer here.
Oh, yeah. We're talking bacon and fig jam on top, which I always love mixing the sweet with the savory. So that's going to be delicious. Roasted mushrooms, always excellent. So Burger Station, you know, you can get the french fries with it with savory dipping sauces. Very much looking forward to this. Another thing they mentioned from this station that they will have, I guess if you're not in the mood for a burger but still want one of those hand sandwiches, they're going to have a Florida grouper sandwich. And, you know, anytime you can feature a local fish, having it fresh, you know, people come to Florida wanting fresh seafood. It's a way to do it. Looking forward to it very much. Ready for the last exciting part of this, too?
Ready.
Oh, well, there's a couple more, but the last one that you'll get really excited about, that's that each of these stations are also going to serve wine and beer that is themed to the cuisine.
I like that.
Made to complement the actual flavors that you're going to be getting there. So the example they give is that they'll have Asian beer next to the wok station.
Cool.
So that way you're actually pairing it well with what you would expect in the places that you're getting these. So
you'll be ready to walk and roll. I stole the joke from your article. I'm sorry. I saw it in there.
I'm sure someone else stole it ahead of time. I didn't steal it from anyone. It's something I say all the time. One of my favorite restaurants in the greater Orlando area is called Bamboo Walk. And so since I started going there, it was like, oh, yeah, it's time to walk and roll and get there. So I've been saying that for a long time. I know many other people say it. I probably stole it from somewhere to begin with, but that's whatever. Last thing to really mention with it is that almost everything at Urban Pantry, according to Universal, will be made from scratch. So they're promising the highest quality, best tasting food, that they'll be using select organic and all natural ingredients. So it'll help be good for you. And they go out of their way to mention if you have special dietary needs, you can talk directly to the chef cooking your meal. So it's made just right, which is great. It makes it sound like you will have that open communication with the actual kitchens right there. Very nice. So Urban Pantry, that'll be opening up with Aventura Hotel when that does open on August 16th. And I'm looking forward to it. The other good place that you'll be able to get some food at, of course, is the Rooftop Bar and Grill, Bar 17 Bistro, which is also surely going to be fantastic. But
don't call me Shirley.
Surely I won't, but I'm very much looking forward to the food here at Aventura. I need a break from eating for a while, but I guess I'll take it in between now and then, but I'm very pumped. So let's move on to our next discussion topic. And for that, we're going to put our Wizarding World hats on. This is like basically at the point that I don't even know why we're talking about it. But probably because I didn't know how long this show would go and didn't want to give another 20-minute episode, so I decided to throw it in. And that is that as of July 2nd, there was a brand new Chocolate Frog Wizard card that debuted at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And this one caught me off guard because, you know, of course they have the four houses of Hogwarts already featured, Godric Gryffindor, Helena Hufflepuff, Rowena Ravenclaw,
Steven
and Salazar.
Salazar
Slytherin. They introduced Bertie Bott earlier in the year.
Wasn't there a Dumbledore one?
They do have Albus Dumbledore. They have Gilderoy Lockhart. They have...
There's one more because it was like a special one they released during Harry Potter weekend. Or they always add another one during Harry Potter weekend.
Yeah, I feel like we're missing one more. I know I just said a lot of them.
It's the one that's sitting at my house because my friend asked me to get her one and I got it for her, but I can't remember what the sticker says on it.
Was it the Lockhart one? That I already mentioned?
No. Was that the one this year?
This year's one was Bertie Bott, I thought. Maybe it wasn't. Regardless,
I think that was last year.
Another new one added to the pile, and this one is Jaconda Sykes.
Jaconda forever.
And you might be asking yourself, well, who is Jaconda Sykes? And I'm here to tell you, if this was featured in the books at any point in time...
I do not remember this. I don't think it was.
Yeah, I... Then again, there's so many throwaway ones. Like,
You know they have those other books, though, that are like the history. There's the Quidditch one, and then there's the Quidditch Through the Ages, and then obviously Fantastic Beasts. But this could be in Quidditch Through the Ages. I think this speaker is on.
What speaker?
I don't know. I'm hearing my own voice echo, and I don't have headphones on.
So I think it's because it's very loud in my ears, and we are screaming very much so right now. Oh, I remember the other stupid one. It was, and I don't remember. It's because I'm looking at a list. It was the Hengist of Woodcroft.
What? Who was that?
He was the founder of Hogsmeade.
Yeah, okay. I remember that weird-looking photo.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that my friend...
Okay, yeah. So those are all the cards now that we went through. The ones that I mentioned, Hengist, Gilderoy, Albus, and Birdie Botts, plus now Jaconda. Did I explain who Jaconda is yet? I still
do. You have not. We're still waiting.
Yeah, only during the tease. Jaconda Sykes... Say that one six times fast.
You're making me crazy.
Yeah.
Jaconda me crazy. I can't. There's got to be something in there.
Yeah. So if she is in the books somewhere, I'm sure someone will point it out to us. I am still going through all the audiobooks like I announced months and months ago. It's taken me a lot longer than I expected because of different ones in the way. So now when I hear like random stuff that they've pulled for the lands, it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that when I read it. And then they said, well, it's from the books, and now I'm hearing it again. It's pretty cool. All that being said, Jaconda Sykes is the first witch to ever fly over the Atlantic by broom.
Oh.
And you might think about it in a way of like, oh, well, it's empowering, you know. Amelia Earhart, we all know and love her as the person who got lost in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. The Hillary Swank of the Wizarding World.
Sorry, do you say Bermuda?
Bermuda?
I'm a Bermuda kind of guy. I'm in the Bermuda.
What Bermuda are you in?
Oh, you know what I do. I just like pronouncing things on purpose the wrong way, so that way, and I should say it in order. I like pronouncing things incorrectly on purpose just to piss people off. They released the picture that goes along with it, and you almost would think that it is straight up Amelia Earhart, because when I asked Rhino earlier in the day to describe all the characteristics of Amelia Earhart and what to expect in Jaconda Sykes, he basically nailed everything. I was like, well, what do you think of Amelia Earhart? Well, what do you think?
Leather hood, like helmet thing. Goggles, white scarf, brown leather jacket.
And that's all you said. And I was like, well, you pretty much nailed it. The only other additions to it are with Jaconda Sykes is a broom and then a blue vest and a tie, which I believe Amelia Earhart also wore ties from time to time. So I guess that's the one thing missing from the piece. But yeah, so... like all the other limited time cards, the chocolate frog boxes for a very short time will have a gold sticker on it. You'll know those are the ones that specifically contain Jaconda Sykes. And after a while, they're going to be just mixed in with the normal ones. So all those wizards we already mentioned, you'll have a random chance at getting any of those. I believe that people still mostly get the four houses more than anyone else, but you have a chance. But if you really want Jaconda Sykes now, you'll want to get here and get it. Jaconda have to try to get out here and get it. You can always get lucky. And remember that when you buy a chocolate frog card and you look, if you get a nice enough team member, maybe they'll be able to trade with you. So if you're looking for one in particular, but some of the harder to find ones, you can't go in expecting that. So you can either go for eBay or you can always be nice and try to be like, hello, anyone who lives in Orlando, can you please go get me this? I'm cold.
We will not do that, though.
Oh, no, I won't.
I don't want to encourage people to ask us to do it.
Yeah, in fact, I want to discourage anyone from ever doing it. I'm joking. If it's something, if it's ever something that's, like, so dire important, I will go. I'm not opening it up in that way. I'm saying there has been times and occasions where I know our listener base has helped us out with things.
True.
And
yes,
I am willing to extend that when I can. So if you're asking me to go and rope drop a brand new land to get something, you know, like a Toy Story, I was there pin. I'm sorry, Ashley, I couldn't do that. I wanted to, and I looked later on in the night. It was already gone by then. But if it's something that's open edition that you just want because you're afraid that one day maybe it'll be gone, that's a little different.
Yeah.
So we're this is a good relationship that we have with each other. We're here for you and you're here for us.
Yeah.
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 But don't bother Rhino, that being said.
No, well, that's not fair because people do get me stuff all the time. But those people, I'll help you out. You scratch my back, I scratch your back.
Okay.
I don't forget you.
Yeah. I feel like we've set the boundaries now. So now that we've set boundaries, let's break down boundaries and let's talk about Halloween Horror Nights again one more time. Guys, did you really think that we weren't going to find a way to bring it up in an episode? If you didn't think that we would, then, well, here's your surprise. We did. And that is the last two scare zones have been announced for Halloween Horror Nights. And I would say they were both somewhat a surprise in my mindset. So, actually, yeah, they both were a surprise. So, the two scare zones that we are going to see at Halloween Horror Nights are Revenge of Chucky, as well as Dun Dun Dun, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So you might remember
we were talking about that on the show, weren't we? That was on the show, right? And you explained the plot of it. It's like you knew. It's like they heard us.
Okay. Well, I think this is just where the secrets and the hints give it out. Even though Mike Aiello isn't as in-depth with Halloween Horror Nights anymore as like he used to, he is still obviously involved because he's in Universal Creative, deals with show development, things like that. So, you know, he's been tweeting about it for months and months, like every now and then just randomly throwing in something with Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And you know, I remember the first time I watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I had to been in maybe sixth grade, seventh grade, and I can remember the friend's house that we were watching it in, and it was just the dumbest movie in the world, but was so captivating that I had to get it on DVD quickly after. Like, that's how much it meant to me. It's like, how can you get any better than oversized, grotesque clowns that put people into cotton candy cocoons and then suck their blood out of them? Like, it's just, you can't get much better than that. And so it's never lost my mind, but the more I saw him tweeting about it, the more it was like, okay, yeah, if this 80s theme that we think is going to be happening does come together, it would be cool to see Killer Clowns from Outer Space, because that is the epitome of a bad 80s horror movie. And we got lucky because apparently Universal agreed and decided to bring it to life. So
I'm nervous to see what the smell of cotton candy and human beings are together.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be disgusting in that way. The smells are going to be very, very interesting when it comes to. I didn't think about it as much. I mean, we know that there's going to be cotton candy smells all over the place, but mixed with the blood, yeah, I didn't really consider that. But very, very excellent observation in that, my friend. And the other one I mentioned, of course, is Revenge of Chucky,
which I'm trying to look up right now because I didn't know if this was a specific movie based thing, and it's not.
No. Revenge of Chucky isn't. So this one just squeaks into that 80s theme. Child's Play came out in 1988. So the bulk of the movies involving Chucky have been past the 80s, but it still originates in the 80s. And this one's going to be good. And it works out that because of 88, this is the 30th anniversary of Chucky.
Oh, yeah. So, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, that's cool. It didn't dawn on me at first, but then it's right there in front of me. And so the idea of the Revenge of Chucky Scare Zone is that this will be a festival of toys, and Chucky is twisting playthings into a new nightmare. He's going to rule the zone, and then he's going to command his minions to carve up some horror. And they promise that it will be a torturous delight to behold as he dishes out some revenge personally. So just based on aspect, feels kind of like when they've done this in the past. Like the last one they really did this with was Chance, where Chance was featured up on her stage and you could see her, but then Chance had all her other psychotic people that were kind of slightly dressed like her with like the face paint and stuff, but they were the ones doing the scarings. So, you know, it's the same idea with it. You can't have a million Chuckies running around. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, that's the thing that kind of bums me out, is I doubt they're even going to be like little people. I think they're just probably going to be people that are like my height or shorter.
Well, remember, they did this
short, but
they did this concept at Hollywood. They had all the Chuckies.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't like that, but because that was last year, and that was, I feel like, a budget cut. And I was just like, I don't like a life size. I want like the doll. I want the puppet. But I do like the idea that it says other childhood toys, because I feel like that gives a cool, like, I'll be interested to see what else they use with the toys, like what other toys will be. I also, it's kind of like morbid, but the year that Toys R Us closes, there's going to be a scare zone about scary toys like gone wrong. You know, it's kind of one of those. It's interesting. I like that idea. You know, it's like bittersweet almost.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree with that. So it sounds, it's all together. Scare zones, I think, this year sound pretty okay for the most part. So just to recap on that, our scare zones that we, and this is assuming, so our scare zones, I lost count for a second with it, but we have Revenge of Chucky, we have Killer Clowns from Outer Space, we have Vamp 85, New Year's Eve, Twisted Traditions, and The Harvest. So those are the scare zones that we do have there, with the weakest ones potentially being Twisted Tradition and The Harvest, most likely. Twisted Tradition, if you don't remember, it's going to be in the Central Park area. It's going to have the pumpkins, so it's going to be pretty looking.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how much oomph it'll have, because it's going to be grotesque and weird and demonic, but don't know if it'll translate really well besides just being pretty to walk through. And The Harvest is the mixture of all the intellectual property houses at the beginning, but in a barn, so it's kind of just mishmashing with that. It'll just be interesting to see.
Yeah.
So, but overall, decent lineup on paper, at least, and I'm sure we'll be very impressed once we get there in person. But that's the HHN news. And remember, we'll say it every time we talk about this, September 14th to November 3rd, that's our dates on Halloween Horror Nights this year. And we'll be there covering every second of it. Yep, literally.
I gotta buy my pass.
We made the decision that we are getting the most expensive pass so we can be there for every single second, from the time it starts till the time it finishes.
Every day, every second.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
Yeah, exactly. That's not happening. But that will do it for this show, this episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. Of course, I want to say thank you to my co-host, Rhino, and I want to say thank you to everyone out there who listened and watched to this. As always, if you need any more information, head over to DizUnplugged.com, home of our show notes page for this show and all the others on the Diz Unplugged Podcast Network. There you can get links to all our social media channels as well, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and a link to our podcast email, uopodcast@gmail.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, of course, as always, please hit that subscribe button. Remember to do so. And if you're feeling so moved to, also go ahead and comment down below and hit that thumbs up. If you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review us. But thank you again to everyone out there who listened and watched this. Thank you again to Rhino as well for taking part in this. We'll see you again next week for the next episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. And until then, remember, we still haven't changed the name.